If a conservative doesn't like a gun, they just don't buy it. If a liberal doesn't like guns, they want to outlaw them for everyone. If a conservative is a vegan, they don't eat meat. If a liberal is a vegetarian or vegan, they want to ban meat products for everyone. I found if a conservative is gay, they live their life and respect other people's choices. If a liberal is gay, they demand respect, even if it has to be legislated. If a conservative is down and out on their situation, they think about, how can I improve? How can I better where I'm at? I'm Misty. If a liberal is down and out, they want someone to take care of them. It's everybody else's fault. If a conservative doesn't like a talk show, a TikTok, they simply switch channels or swipe up. A liberal, they're going to demand that that video be removed, that that talk show be canceled. If a conservative is a non-believer, they simply don't go to church. If a liberal is a non-believer, they think all religion should be removed from every facet of life. If a conservative believes he needs health care, he goes shopping for it or finds a job that'll provide it. A liberal, they're demanding that the rest of us pay for their health care. It should be universal. A conservative, he realizes that they're responsible for their emotions, their responses, their actions, their triggers. A liberal, they want to blame their triggers, their issues, their misfortunes on everyone else. They never take responsibility. If a conservative watches this, he's going to forward it to a few of his friends for a laugh. A liberal is going to try to get it deleted, taken down, because they're offended.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Tommy.
I'm Bear.
And we are the Unrefined Guys. Two guys who know a little bit about a lot of things, don't know a whole lot about one particular topic. Are you offended?
I'm not.
It's a Monday show.
Monday.
Whoa, I just hit that level right up, didn't I? You know, there's so much that's going on this last week.
Oh, I know.
And then Saturday morning.
The smoke and mirrors have started.
Oh, I'm telling you, and it's just, it's only going to get worse.
Oh, yeah.
It's only going to get worse. So we had, we had a ship hit a bridge and knock it the hell down.
Yeah.
Holy shit, the conspiracy theorists are alive and well on that one. What else
there
have
is
we
some
had?
Fishy things there that is I've
some
come
fishy
across.
Things like 2 minutes of the ship's black box just conveniently not there.
It's the 2 minutes and
the 2 minutes
the most important
crashed.
I mean, yeah, I would like to believe it was a total accident.
I would too.
But there's some things that are I just don't buy.
I don't necessarily.
We discussed this the other day.
Yeah,
I've been in those areas as a truck driver, and I've seen the pilot ships and tugboats making sure that they get out of the port.
That's what those people do.
That's what they get paid to do.
They get paid good money to be pilots.
Very good
too,
money. Yeah.
And they're experts in that, that area because they know it so well.
Right. So why wasn't that ship under that? Why wasn't it being tugged? Why?
There was
that
a pilot,
no sense.
But there was no tug. That's just bizarre. Right. And, look. Do I think it was a full-blown conspiracy to knock the bridge down? I don't buy it yet. But like you said, there's just too many fishy things.
Well, and that's where the conspiracy theorists will latch on. If there's, like, 9/11, Building 7 implodes. That was too fishy.
Conveniently,
you know? So you're giving
down.
Them traction in with the stuff that they're saying. Now, if it was legitimately a boo-boo, then let it be a boo-boo.
Hit the mea culpa button and move on.
Well, that's the thing that pisses me off is the president coming out and saying the government's going to pay for it.
Yeah, what happened to the shipping
places? The bridge is insured.
Right.
And the ship has got insurance. The Maersk is the biggest, if not the biggest, shipping company in the world.
But we're going to put, I think I heard, a couple $1 billion towards
it. It's going to take that much
already.
Yeah. And it's going to take about 4 to 5 years to rebuild.
Why don't you just let the bridge's insurance and the ship's insurance fight it out?
Right. Does the government get involved when you have a car accident, a fender bender?
I'm glad they. Well, yeah, they do, because that asshole cop always writes you a ticket.
Well, you write you a ticket.
Nah, if you deserved it anyway. I'm not saying all cops are assholes.
No.
Traffic cops.
Most
though.
Of the time when you have a fender bender, you exchange information and mm-hmm. you move on.
Unless somebody's
let
hurt.
Let the insurance companies fight it out.
It there's too much in this. There's too much. Like you said, if just let it happen, let it run its course, but we're going to start jumping our noses in it. And that immediately makes even us go, oh, yeah. So we're hiding something.
Well, it shows how the Democrats, the liberals will use any tragedy.
COVID.
Any tragedy to make themselves look good.
And they do it. Like you, what else happened? So beyond that, Boeing's had their.
Oh, yeah.
Their stock is in the gutter, you know. Oh, yeah, that's because of DEI. Yeah, never mind. I don't know that to be factual. It's just fun to say.
Yeah, you have that. And then there was just recently, there was another barge that hits the Arkansas River Bridge.
Was it Oklahoma?
Yeah, I believe it was in Oklahoma.
Yeah, so a barge hits.
So people don't know. Sorry, Tom.
No, that's all right.
There's a barge system that goes from Little Rock, Arkansas, all the way up into Saligna, I think it's called, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Basically all the way up to Tulsa.
That's on the Arkansas River specifically.
Yeah, they use the Arkansas River in that area because it's a big transporting way for them to transport grain and stuff.
Which is hilarious because the Arkansas flows through this state.
Yeah.
And where it flows here.
There's no way.
No. The most we ever did was got in it and floated.
All right. You know? We floated. We didn't float barges. That's for sure.
We normally could touch the bottom in most areas, too.
Most areas.
Now, there are some areas, obviously, that when it comes off of the mountain, where you can't do that. But
that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, to think that there's barges in there.
Well, yeah, when you see
taking commerce around, it's crazy.
When you see the Arkansas, when it gets closer to the Mississippi and the Missouri, it gets a lot bigger.
It's huge.
So, yeah, from Little Rock to Oklahoma up to Tulsa, they're transporting grains and goods on the barges, and I've watched those things and they get pretty big.
Well, so I saw the front end of this barge that hits the cement pylon of this bridge in Oklahoma, and there was a couple pieces of cement that had chipped off, nothing that looked too bad. The front end of that boat, however, looked like a fiberglass car had bumped into a parking sign or something. I mean, it just wrecked the front.
Looked like a smart car versus a semi.
Yes, it was crumpled. I imagine somebody's unemployed today.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because that happened on Friday.
And then that's the way it should be.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to be in a situation where you have that kind of control.
Yeah.
And you have the ability to cause that kind of damage.
Well, and they're supposed to have so many hours, just like the ship in Baltimore. And even for pilots, you have to have so many hours before you can do it by yourself.
Right.
And once you do it by yourself, you have to be held accountable for any accident.
You should be. It's just like a pilot.
Well, it's truck driver.
Right.
We go through training. Granted, it's not as long as it should be, in my opinion. But we go through training and we go through having somebody there watching us. And then at some point we get cut loose. And guess who's held accountable?
On top of all the regulations that you have to follow. And I imagine that shipping is probably at least equal to trucking, if not.
It's actually more
exceeds.
Revised.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I wonder why that is.
Actually, one of the jobs I was at, we had a guy who used to be a former barge driver down there in a Louisiana area that became a truck driver. And he was like, man, this is so much shit that I got to go through just to be a truck driver. I got to do this. I got to do it. And he's like, when I was doing the barge, I just had to log this and do that. And
really?
Yeah. I had so many hours I had to go through in training, which is a lot more than truck drivers need to go through. But
most of those.
And they didn't have, they're not regulated by time like truck drivers are.
No?
No.
See, those big
airline pilots are.
Right. Yeah. They
bus drivers are, but not barge.
That's crazy.
Or train conductors.
You would train conductors? I thought train conductors were on a big time frenzy too.
No. Engineers, the guys actually drive the trains, they're actually more relaxed than truck drivers.
Hmm.
So I am not.
You would think that something that takes you 2 miles to stop.
Yeah, right?
You'd have to have a little bit more. Well,
they're union and the stuff that they've self-imposed is strict.
Really?
But the federal government is not involved in them as much as they are truck driving, which
that's crazy.
Drives me nuts.
You would think. I think when you're driving a boat, it's obviously a little bit different because when you turn the wheel left, it goes right.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you've got it. And most of them are set up on pulley systems.
If you've ever driven a boat, it's a little more difficult to drive.
Yeah, because you got that ass in swinging. But then in these big, big ones, the steering or the pilot, whatever they call that, wheelhouse is all the way in the back of the boat. So you've got to account for two or three full football fields in front of you and know when to start that turn.
Right.
I imagine it would be very difficult.
Yeah.
But to have the regulations is wild.
Oh, international shipping, I don't know. I'm just talking about in the States.
Sure.
International shipping, it may be regulated.
So you look at this bridge
in Baltimore.
They say it was about three quarters of a mile that broke off and fell into the water.
Really?
I thought something like that. I think it was 2,300 or 2,400 feet. So this thing breaks apart. Now this was a main shipping area for hazmat, gasoline, diesel, and now that's all gone. And they're saying it could be gone for, you said, a couple up to 5 years.
Yeah, the building of the bridge is going to take 4 to 5 years.
And then we find out all of these little things that are going on. I don't necessarily think it was sabotage. Oh, my God, the boat captain was Ukrainian. So? He wasn't in charge of the... He wasn't driving that boat when it hit the bridge.
That's the part that everybody's got to remember. He wasn't actually driving the boat.
Right. It was the pilot. And, you know, who knows what happened? Yeah. You know, the power outages that happened several times. The big thing that's being spread about right now is some kind of a internet sabotage.
A hack, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about those boats, but I know that I've seen the decks of these boats, and it's all electronic.
Oh, yeah, it's all computerized.
You know, much like our new car systems.
Yep.
People don't realize this, but the computer systems in cars can be hacked.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching something on the YouTube a couple weeks ago.
On the YouTube.
You know. And this, I say kids, probably early to mid-20s, he was showing his buddy how easy it was for him to be able to just, using a laptop, an internet connection, and a couple of knowledgeable bits of information, was able to hack his buddy's car and stop it. Just cold stop it. Now, I don't know if he could get to a point where it could accelerate the car or decelerate the car or affect the steering.
Right.
But that should scare the hell out of everybody.
Well, I mean, you got these cars that Chevy's putting out that Tesla has, the autopilot. What do you think's driving the car?
Right.
It's the computer. So,
AI.
And any computer can be hacked.
Well, and
it might take longer and harder, but it can be hacked.
The Biden administration's currently giving car manufacturers some deadline to have kill switches in all the vehicles.
Yeah.
Who's going to have control over the kill switch?
Yeah. Well, this is the 1984 stuff we were talking about in previous episodes.
Now we'll get back to super duper conspiracy theory. Do you remember back in the Obama days, one of his biggest quote unquote accomplishments was cash for clunkers?
Oh, yeah.
And if
that was to get rid of all the cars that didn't have computers.
If I recall, it was like anything from 1998 and before, they would trade it in and give you like buku extra money for it.
Yeah.
The key to that was, though, is any cars that were taken in on trade from the dealers could not be resold.
Right.
Period, point blank, end of discussion. They all had to be destroyed. And I didn't think about it then because I didn't realize how fucked up our government is. Makes sense now.
Yeah. They want to shut your cars down.
Why are they so anxious to have us having electric cars? Yeah. Why are they so anxious in having DUI detectors in the cars? Why do they want the government, assuming it's the government who would have control, to be able to just disable your car?
Yeah. And we're right on the edge of them forcing cameras in your car.
Tesla's already there.
Yeah, I know.
I think there's a couple of other electric manufacturers that are.
Not just outward facing. I'm talking about watching you in the car.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
See, that's why I keep my 2008.
That's why they're pushing that. They're pushing that on the commercial industry. And they say it's an insurance thing, and it may very well be an insurance thing. And, you know, for the trucking companies to fight anything that is nefarious, or
is it to see if the driver is distracted when there's the accident occurs?
Yeah, they make sure the driver is doing his job. If he's playing on his cell phone, then he's held accountable for everything that happened, and it's legit. But you know, that's where they're starting, and this is what they've done with a lot of technology: is they've put it in the commercial industry, and then they've, you know, it's gone down into the civilian, if you will. Like dash cams weren't really a big thing for cars for a long time. But once the trucks started using them and using them against people who were, you know, who were frauding or
road
doing
raging
some kind of,
fraud.
Well, they were doing the brake check thing to get paid, which is the dumbest thing ever. You're going to brake check
a vehicle. Let me put my life on the line for a couple thousand bucks.
You know, like I said before, is a lot of these trucking companies are self-insured. And that means that they have to have $2 million at any time.
Right.
Pay out. So that's why people are causing these fraudulent accidents with trucks.
That's
so
too dangerous, man.
It's not worth the $2
million. No.
Because you could be paralyzed or killed.
These people will get in front of these trucks and tap the brakes and hope for just a little bit of contact and then claim outrageous injuries.
Right.
Not understanding you tap that brake too much, that truck can't do anything but roll right over top of you and make... I've seen too many nasty accidents where those trucks have just made... unrecognizable messes of these little cars.
Well, once they made those available for trucks, the dash cams, then next thing, when we sell it to truck drivers, we have to sell it to everybody. And now everybody's got a dash cam. If you watch enough videos on YouTube or anywhere else, there's constantly dash cam videos of people being stupid drivers.
Think about what's happened over, say, the last 20 years.
Sorry.
No, that's
not. Now they're trying to
trying to mandate them?
Trying to mandate having dash cams and facing inward and outward.
And here's how they'll sell it. It's always the same bullshit.
It's for your safety.
For your safety. Yeah. This will be to protect you. If you have nothing to hide, you shouldn't be worried about it. And, you know, many people will just go, well, that's a good idea. And they'll do it.
It is a good idea. It will help you.
But.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a big butt there.
And it's similar to what's happened over the last, say 15 years, because as the internet has become more and more involved, now they have the Internet of Things, which don't fall down that rabbit hole. People's refrigerators are connected to the internet.
Yep.
People's, you know, and everybody's like, well, I don't want the government spying on me. Well, then unplug Alexa.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Or your Google Home.
Or get rid of Siri.
Yeah.
Because people don't realize it, but Amazon and Google and all of these places are sending buku data from these recording devices to the government.
If not our government, some other government.
Yeah, to any government. Yeah. And
because I just had a conversation the other day about Temu or Tofu, whatever
we're
you
calling
call it
this week.
Being, you know, they have a lawsuit against them for selling your data.
Where do they get? Well, because you can only buy it from the app, right?
Yeah.
Can't buy anything online.
But my point is Target, Walmart, they've all had lawsuits against them for their data breaches. Credit card companies, they are constantly getting sued for data breaches. Everybody, Google, Amazon, everybody's selling your fucking data.
Think about it this way. If a service is being offered for free to you, you're the product.
Yeah.
If anybody, and I'm guilty of this.
But you live with, if you're going to be fearful of all these things, you're going to live a pretty simple life. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But if, again, like you said a minute ago, if you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to worry about.
Sure. But I don't want the government's nose in it anyway.
Oh, well, no, we don't.
Because we know the government. Listen, I've had friends within the law enforcement community. I've had friends within the prosecutor's offices community. And even friends in federal government. And they all have a similar saying. In one way or another, show me the man and I'll show you the crime.
Oh, yeah.
If you dig enough, you're going to find something. And it may be completely obscure.
Right.
but you'll find it.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, we as a society have learned or been programmed, I would argue, to let our guards down and to not be private people anymore. You and I know that by being on this program, we're being treated differently than most people are because we're considered wildly influencers, which
content creators.
I don't buy that. Oh, but we're also public.
Yes.
And because we're public, we have a different set of rules that we have to follow, and it also can be placed on us. So, for instance, if somebody said something slanderous or libel about us, we can't just say, hey, this is what happened, and they can't do that. Stop it. Because a judge would say there is a certain amount of this that you're come to expect from public figure.
Right.
And then we'd have to prove that it caused us financial distress. It's just a pain in the ass. And I'm not big. If you have an opinion about me, go ahead. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, they obviously can't say we're out doing wildly erotic things with animals or anything like that, unless there's video proof of it.
I was going to say somebody could say that,
right?
But they have to prove it.
The one with this new AI stuff, I'm starting to get worried about.
Right.
I played with a new AI program the other night for a few minutes, and it was amazing to me. Just a year and a half or so ago, when they first started releasing these AI things, if I were to have released, you know, tried to get something printed, it would come up with this wildly ugly face, and it didn't look anything more than a cartoon figure.
Right.
And the other night I was playing with it, and within 15 minutes of just tweaking how I described things, I got some interesting pictures that looked like photographs of what this AI thought maybe you and I looked like.
Was it close?
Not really, no. I mean, it
because the last time you played with it, we were black.
Oh, yeah, we did. We were black in that one, which I thought was great.
Yeah,
it opens it opens up a new audience style. So there's, for instance, there's one that's not so close. We'll put these up on our socials so you can see them.
That's brutal.
It is brutal.
That's mean.
And even when I said, no, listen, Bear is about 6'1", taller than I am, not fat, then it came
I'm
up.
I'm not slim.
Well, but yeah, but this makes you look.
No, no.
This makes you look horrible.
I'm going to describe it real quick.
That was the next one I brought up.
All right. So it reminds me of the skit on SNL, the Bears.
That's exactly what I thought of because you look like Ditka a little bit. That was the one that it came up to once.
Fuck
the taller,
you,
right?
Come on now.
Then it went to that.
I can live with that one.
And so it just kept going. And
I can live with that one.
Now, after 20 minutes of tweaking what I said, but these look like almost real pictures now.
Yeah, it does. And they're still cartoonish.
They are cartoonish, for sure. But this is where AIs come to.
Yeah.
And a year ago, right, it was garbage.
Yeah. Fell down a rabbit hole of the AI stuff. And I'm going to play ignorant for a second because I really was ignorant. I did not realize that some AI is used for porn.
A lot of it is used for porn.
I did not realize that. I was like, what?
There are OnlyFans accounts that have been identified, and it's come out in the last few months. They're not real sure about the percentage-wise, but they know it is a great number.
So somebody just programmed in AI and then just makes money off the account.
These guys are spending.
That's actually very smart.
However much money a month they're spending, right? And their girlfriend is completely non-existent. It is literally a computer.
Wow.
Imaging itself based on the requests of the members, if you will. And this is what's happening. Here's what should scare everybody in our audience, especially if you consume porn. I'm not a fan of it, but you do you, right?
Yeah.
There could come a time where AI could put Bear and I in a porn. Yeah. And if that doesn't scare the hell out of all of you, you need to see what we really look like. But think about that. It's just a matter of time.
Right.
Before anybody's face.
Well, and that's what the last strike was in Hollywood was, you know, hey, let's lose. Use less AI and CGI stuff. Let's use more realistic or real life humans,
right,
to do these parts because there's some movies that we're using. One of your favorite movies, they used a lot of AI in it.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
The Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Dude, I cannot, I cannot stress to you people enough. If you have not seen that movie.
Don't.
You and your wife had me so hyped. And as I went back and listened to what you had said to me and how you had said it, I should have picked up on it.
I was going to say, man.
Because you never once said it was great. You never said it was a good movie. But you described it in such a way that you made me believe you were telling me that I would really enjoy it.
Oh, no, that's not what I was saying at all.
And now when somebody, now I'm always going to question when somebody says to me, well, you'll definitely get something out of it. Yeah, confused, disgusted. That was the, listen, the acting was great.
There was how some acting,
they,
yes.
How they were able to play off, and I don't want to give away any spoiler alerts, but how they were able to play off in so many different facets.
Yeah.
It showed some serious acting ability. But my God, listen, if you've not seen it.
Don't. Just really don't.
I just want to tell you that unless you like obscure, odd and sometimes hard to follow.
Not sometimes. Yeah. Okay. Whole movie.
From the time the credits of the opening till the time it was over, it was really difficult to follow. If you watch it, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it. And if you've already watched
and
it,
if you actually liked it, we need to have a talk.
Oh, if you liked it, please, please, please let us know whether it's in the comments or whether you reach out to our, to us on our webpage or on socials, whatever you do, please let us know if you liked, what was the name of it? Again?
Everything Everywhere.
Everything
All
Everywhere. And it won a lot of awards too.
Yeah.
And I have
well, it
no
was
idea.
Shot very well.
The cinematography of it was really well done. Yeah. And like you said, the AI was very well placed. It didn't look super fake. It was shot well. Mm-hmm. God, it was terrible.
I wouldn't say terrible. It was well.
I'm still not 100% sure what the plot line was.
That's the, when somebody asked me about the movie and to give them a quick and little, you know.
Asian family going through their crisis of living in America.
That's about as basic as you can get. It's a little more to that.
Oh, there's a lot more to it, but I don't know what it is.
That's about as Fisher Price as you can get with that movie because it is so mysteriously strange that it.
Oh, my God. Terrible. Terrible.
It reminded me of a movie back years ago. I don't remember exactly when it was made, but a movie called Memento. Memento. It's where this guy has short-term memory loss problems.
Mm.
And what he has to go through the same day, or seems like he has to start all over every day.
Like Groundhog
kind
Day.
Kind of like Groundhog Day, except for it's going, he's linear time is going forward, but he's only remembering
bits and pieces. Or
this one bit of day. So he's tattooing himself before he goes to bed
of
what just happened and, you know, and to go forward. So his whole body is covered in tattoos.
Wow. Memento.
Memento, yeah.
That'd be an interesting one to see in today's timeline.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll hold up.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Because
you
weird.
Could just leave, you know.
Right.
Leave your phone recording.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's funny you bring up AI in the movies because we use a service to upload and store and hold our podcast stuff. And a couple of months ago, we got an email that explained this new AI service that you could add on to what we do. And this AI currently, in its present form, it takes out long, dramatic pauses. It takes out the ums. It takes out, and it allegedly learns
us
and then is able to edit the podcast so that it's more seamless and there's not as much dead time, et cetera, et cetera. But there are some AI services that you can subscribe to now, and it's pretty costly.
Where we wouldn't have to be here.
Where we would literally record, I think it's like 25 or 35 seconds of our voices saying particular words.
Right.
And this allegedly through time would learn our how to sound like us, learn our mannerisms, learn our all of that, and we would literally not have to be here at all and be putting together the podcast.
Well,
that would be weird.
That would be. And I don't know if the seamless thing, going mm-hmm. back to that for a second, I the people that are truly follow us that have been here since the
beginning, they'd be freaked out.
They wouldn't like the fact that there's no dead spots. And because, you know, when we were first practicing and I was going home and editing, I would take out all the dead spots.
It'd take us down from an hour and a half to like 42 minutes.
Yeah, but it was just, it was so fast and just,
right,
you know, one thing. It felt so fake when I was re-listening to it after I edited it. It's not going to work. I think our appeal is the fact that we're real.
We're normal.
Yeah.
I've listened to so many different podcasters and watched so many different vlogcasts or whatever those are called, where it's a video podcast. And every one of them always talks about the majority of their time is spent in editing. And I get it. You know, if you're going to try and be big on YouTube, there are a lot of things that you have to do to get the algorithm to pick up. You have to have a great thumbnail for your video presentation. So you've got to go through all that video you shot to find the perfect thumbnail, which is why you'll see a lot of thumbnails have ladies in bikinis, because for some reason the algorithm's like, well, people dig that. The way you title your videos is algorithmically. And all I keep thinking to us is, you know, we're going to video.
Yes.
I'm not going to spend time editing a bunch. You know, yeah, we're going to have to add in probably intros, outros, things like that. But the show that you have right now, this is it.
Yep.
This is all we're doing. Now, we might put up, you know, some graphics on the screen, perhaps.
Graphics might have some animation.
Instead of hearing the video, you'll actually be able to see what's going on the screen because most of the sound bites that we use come from video. But other than that, we want this to be as genuinely real as possible. The whole point of the show was Tommy and Bear having conversations in the living room. And that's what we do generally. There's certain parts we keep out of it. You know, we don't.
So are we eventually going to have AI politicians where we can just delete them instead of voting them out?
I got to tell you, that would be beautiful. Like if we could just say, here's the frightening part. And I guess I always go back to war games back in was that the mid 80s?
I think it was 84-ish.
And I worry about at some point, do we as a society lose everything and allow computers who are not sentient,
right,
who are in essence the Spock of today's world, they don't have emotion, they're incapable of feeling emotion, they're incapable of empathy, and do we want things like that to run our day-to-day lives? Many would say yes.
I wouldn't.
But hell yes. No. Think about this. Your loved one has a disease or an ailment that they know for a fact is going to take their life in the next 10 years, let's say.
Okay.
And if instead of a body of people who are educated in your disease and educated in the processes, who work for the insurance companies, sitting at a table and going through all of that and looking at the nuances of things.
Okay.
And saying, okay, we will treat this one. Whereas if you have AI who has no empathy, who doesn't care about any of this, can't feel or understand, saying, well, this is going to kill him anyway, so we're not covering it.
That's harsh, yeah.
Remember when Obamacare was first about and everybody was screaming and hollering, oh, my God, they're going to have death boards or whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, technically, insurance companies have those
already.
They
already do, yeah.
And now we're going to have computers doing it that are unable to, are incapable of feeling, incapable of
giving a shit,
being empathetic to what the families,
right.
You know, that's just too far. That's a bridge too far. I think
the insurance companies already have no feelings.
Exactly.
In my opinion, you know, they're out away from the situation. They don't actually ever talk to anybody.
Right.
Because they know if they talk to the doctor, they talk to the patient.
They'll end up being biased.
Yeah, so they just refuse to do that, and they just go in a little room with, you know, four or five of them. I'm exaggerating. I don't know how many are there, but they talk it out, and they're like, no, cancel it, or don't pay it, or refuse it, or whatever the case may be.
How many people are out there listening to this right now going, what are they talking about? These have been going on for years.
Oh, yeah. Actuaries are the worst.
actuary's job is to...
It's a great job.
Make the money for the company.
Oh, yeah. Their job is to refuse all claims.
Here's one that really got me, and I don't remember all the details of it, but it was used in a philosophy class as a thought provoker. You've got one kidney that has been donated by a donor, and you have three candidates for that kidney, and it's up to you to make a decision.
Right.
As to which one of those candidates get that kidney, here's one thing you know for sure. Whoever doesn't get it will not, they won't last much longer.
Right.
And so you've got a 78-year-old grandmother, you have got a 52-year-old father of three, and you have a 17-year-old high school kid with average grades. Now, obviously, there's a little bit more information they give you. But right. then the class decides as a collective who they're going to give it to. And, of course, most of the time they almost always go with the kid.
Right.
Because he has the most lives to live. What they didn't tell you is that kid's been in and out of juvie. He doesn't live at home with his parents. As a matter of fact, he assaulted his mother on multiple occasions. All of these things. Because in your logical process, grandma's lived her life.
Yeah.
It sounds shitty.
She's already at the life expectancy.
She's at her life expectancy. And then the dad, you know, he's close, but he's lived his life mostly. We want to give it to this kid. And then, of course, if you'd have picked dad, they'd have told you some shitty things about him. But those are the things these actuaries have to go through. I wouldn't want that job.
Yeah, that's true.
But I would not want that job.
It's a job that's always going to be there.
And there are many, many people. And when I first, when I first heard about these, I was floored. And it's kind of like when you first learn how a magic trick is done.
Yeah.
It, like all the magic just went away.
Yeah, it's not magic anymore.
And now I remember my first magic trick that I ever got the secret to, and I went, shut up. And I felt like I just lost a loved one.
Right. Because you were a huge fan of magic.
I still am. Well, I still am, yeah.
So am I. But, you know, I've, like you, learned a few tricks, and I know there's, yeah.
Yeah,
and it kind of, it's like the comment, don't ever meet your heroes.
Exactly.
You know, so, because they always will disappoint you.
Every time.
It's the same thing. I was disappointed in magic when mm-hmm. I learned how actually easy it was. You know,
and how, look, we all as a society, we want to be entertained and we like to be fooled. And once you figure out how easy it was to fool you, you start to really be upset with yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Because we are gullible people going into these actuaries and finding out that there are, not just in the medical field. These people exist in the credit field.
Say, yeah.
They exist in the car industry. They exist in so many different aspects of our lives.
Right.
There's decisions being made about our lives.
Right.
Like behind closed doors.
You brought up car dealers. That guy that they got to go talk to their manager, mm-hmm. quote unquote, he's basically an actuary.
Yep.
He's going to look at all your information. Don't want to talk to you at all.
Yep.
He will not talk to you. That's why they have the in-between guy. But he will make a decision on you purchasing that vehicle off of all the information that he's got from you,
mm-hmm.
your work history, your credit score, everything, your debt to income ratio. And he'll make a decision on you. And a lot of times you're going to get screwed.
Oh, yeah. Because not only is that car salesman
there to make money for the dealership,
that car salesman's going to get a cut. But that manager, he's getting a bigger cut than that salesman is. And then the finance guy, he's getting the bigger cut out of everybody. And then, of course, the car owner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, car sales, house sales, all of those are all psychologically driven.
Yeah.
Excuse me. They go through these endless hours of classes to learn how to use your feelings and emotions against you. How does this tie into AI? Do you want it to? Do you want a computer
who, heartless bastard?
Yeah, who has access to every bit of information that exists in this world, using all of that information and knowing how to manipulate you in such a way?
So would you say all your digital information is the true you? You know, all the stuff that I can get off of the computer, all your background, is you think that's true you?
I would say
because
probably.
Because that's what it's using. It's going to use all that information that's on the internet. It's all the information, digital information it can pick up on you. It won't get to know you.
Right.
And it doesn't give a fuck to know you.
Sure.
So that's what decision it's making. See, the thing is that's where true car sales back in the day, mm-hmm. where they actually sat down and talked to true home sales, when they you had to sit there with the mortgage broker.
For a while.
For a long time. They get to know you mm-hmm. as a person. And it's, so I don't feel that everything that's on the internet, because if you look me up, I'm an asshole.
Oh,
I don't deny that I'm an asshole, but you don't want anything to do with me because of what you'll find.
I would say to answer that question, there's probably 70% because, you know, right. most like if you were to look up, you know, your local politician, is that really who that person is? Or is that what they are portrayed as? Right. Is that what people see them as? And I get it. Perception is reality. However, is it reality? It isn't. In true form, it's not. But, you know, there's some news articles that are written out there that skirt the truth about me, or that just flat out have lies about me.
Right.
So, and many people have similar, you know, ex-girlfriend posted on a social media that you're such and such. So, no, I would say probably at about a 70%. So it's not exactly, but we're at a point now where, listen, if you don't think for 1 second that Facebook doesn't know precisely when you're about to go take a dump.
I know
you'd
your
be
schedule.
Surprised, yeah. You know, because I remember early on when smartphones were first coming out,
right.
and it was all a conspiracy theory that our phones were listening to us. No, they were.
Yeah,
and they still are, unless you go in and turn all that shit off. And I've done it, and it takes a long time.
But even if you think you turned everything off, you didn't.
The cool
part. Something's still listening to you.
The cool part was early on when I figured it out that it actually was listening.
Yeah.
I would whisper shit into my wife's phone. Just a bugger. Like,
so the sad part is once we get done with recording this episode, I'm going to find ads for AI.
Guaranteed.
Shit.
Guaranteed. I've been, when I first learned to turn this stuff off, it took me about, I would say, an hour and a half, 2 hours to go through every app.
Yeah.
To go through every instance. And I guarantee you, I haven't shut them all off.
The manufacturer should make a button.
A kill button.
That wouldn't let any of these. And then all the social medias and all the Amazon and Temu and all these places would be screwed because they wouldn't get all that information.
Right. You know? I'd be interested to see if somebody ever challenged, let's say Facebook, for instance, because if I recall correctly, and I might have this a little twisted, so don't take this to the bank, but I believe when you sign up for a Facebook account is some of the terms and conditions, anything that you post picture-wise, those pictures automatically become property of Meta.
Yeah.
And they can use the likeness of every single person in that picture for their own purposes. Now think about that for a second. Meta sells that data to somebody else. Now you and I are out at at the reservoir for a picnic with our families and we're drinking a beer or something. I post that picture up of you and I with our families. And that data gets sold 3 or 4 times, and now this company has got your picture up using your picture for advertising product.
A beer or whatever. Yeah.
How can I give access to your permission? That just doesn't make sense to me.
I know. But because you took the picture and you put it up on Facebook.
I gave it to them.
You gave it to them.
The weird part is
the way
like
they argued it.
All those hot MILFs in your area.
Yeah.
Those women are pictures like that where they've been bought and sold on the market, and eventually it gets used as a hot MILF in your area.
Right.
I don't think those ever existed. What, just a hunch. Well, they do, but they're not looking for me.
You're not a hot MILF.
No, but there were always, I remember early on before I was able to shut a lot of those things off, man, some of the, like, I'm not a porn guy, never really did much of that. Now, I've always been guilty of me and my buddies sharing some pretty.
Oh yeah, you're horrible.
Tasteful memes.
You're horrible about that.
Also, some very tasteless memes, and so I have been
more of those.
Oh yeah, I have been targeted with some interesting internet ads back in the day. Yeah, but that's the worst they could get me with. No.
Every time I get a message or a text from you,
you're careful
that it says image.
Mm-hmm. You got to be careful.
I make sure I'm doing it in a different room because I made the mistake one time of being around my in-laws.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
And I'm sitting right next to my brother-in-law and both my brother-in-laws, actually. And
one of your brother-in-laws would have been okay with
it. Well, that. He was.
Okay.
But yeah. The other one was very...
disgusted.
Not disgusted, but he was like, what are you into? And I was like, it's not me. Tommy sends me shit just to throw me off.
Remember back when pictures and videos were really first starting to become a thing on the phones, and it never failed. There was a couple of guys I always knew if I saw their name, I wasn't opening it.
Yeah.
Not in public. Not in public. Because there would always be a sound associated with it.
Yeah.
And it was either, hey, look at me, I'm looking at gay porn or something.
I remember the one I sent to you, and I think you did open it in a grocery store or something like that. It's like, hey, this guy's looking at dicks.
Yep, this guy's looking at penises. AI is coming away, man. It's who knows what it's going to be, and it's frightening when you've got the likes of all these, you know, Alphabet.
Oh, yeah.
And Meta and, you know... X or whatever.
This whole conversation goes along with the TikTok ban that they're trying to push, which I'm against. I could care less either way, to be honest with you, but I'm against banning of TikTok because it's such a slippery slope when it comes to the First Amendment.
Very, very slippery.
You got Meta, you got Alphabet, you've got all these others that are doing the same fucking thing.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And you're going to tell me because they don't have offices in China or they're not Chinese owned. Well, first of all, ByteDance, whatever it's called, is owned by some Chinese people, but mm-hmm. it's not owned by the Chinese government.
Right, but I guess I'm not arguing for this. I just want to be clear about that. I guess the thing about the Chinese owned portion is that if you own something and you're a Chinese citizen, the government also owns a portion.
I understand that.
So there's handlers within those companies.
But to my point real quick, Facebook, Meta, Alphabet, they all have offices in China.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not think that some of those people working at those offices
aren't selling
some of your shit? That's just it's if you're going to ban them, okay, ban TikTok, but ban them all.
All of it.
All of them.
The problem.
And I'll tell you what, the society will get much better once we get
social media. Oh, I guarantee it. When social media became a thing in what, 2005, 2006,
around there,
when MySpace became a thing, once that happened was the beginning of our decline as a society.
Yeah. That and smartphones, yeah.
Well, yeah. And so you've seen depression, you've seen anxiety, you've seen suicides. All of that has been hell on wheels because now we have a society that has crooked necks because they're staring at these phones, constantly waiting for that next like, for that next share, for that. It's just...
I'm not unguilty of that.
I think we all are to a degree.
When I started the Instagram page for the show, at first I was just a normal middle-aged guy that was, you know, starting something.
That page admin, so to speak.
Didn't really give a shit.
Uh-huh.
And then we started climbing with the numbers. And then I realized I was falling into that thing of I gotta get more likes. And I'm getting addicted to it. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, backing off because I'm more desperate about getting the like than I am actually doing something good.
Right. And that's a dangerous thing where how did all of that come to be? Well, these algorithms, and let's face it, an algorithm is just another form of AI.
Oh, yeah.
Because that algorithm, like I said just a little bit ago, these places know what you buy in the grocery store. They know what your interests are. They know when you're going to take a dump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can tell with a certain degree of certainty that you aren't feeling well on a particular day. That should scare the hell out of all of us.
Well, it does.
And then, of course, everybody, well, if you have nothing to hide, I don't have anything to hide, but I don't want everybody knowing my shit either.
I thought it was funny. The one person that was giving me hell because of my stance on TikTok and all the social medias and about all these people selling their information, your information, is the same person that's using Apple Pay from their phone.
Guilty.
I mean, it's very convenient. It's an awesome thing. But you don't think that you're falling under the same fucking trap you're just bitching about.
Everybody who complains about these particular apps and their permissions and all of that doesn't realize that when you buy a new phone and you connect it to your service, by using that phone, you have to agree to terms and conditions. Yeah. Go back to the old South Park of Apple's terms and conditions where it became a human centipede. At any point in time, Apple or Google or any of these companies could call up and say, we're going to exercise this particular X of our terms and conditions.
We decided we're going to go ahead and go with that.
Yeah, and you don't know what we could be in for. Now, I don't think, honestly, you know, there's ever going to be a terms and conditions where you're going to have to become a human centipede, but
God, I hope not.
There's a guy, there was a guy, I don't remember what social media app it was on, but he made his life, I think it's on TikTok. He makes his life of reading and comprehending the terms and conditions. And I remember early on when I saw him, I thought, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. You got no life.
Yeah, none. These people own every bit of what you do on those apps. It's frightening.
The one thing and it's funny because if I get downloaded and have to download a new app for whatever reason, and it asks for to be allowed to give you notifications and allowed to do this and
follow you and know your location.
Yeah, I say no to all of it. And every app that says, well, we can't operate unless you agree to this.
Then
well,
I don't need you.
Then I don't fucking
need you. I have a lot of trepidations with both Google and Apple. I like Apple for various reasons. I liked Google for some reasons, Android. But once Android was confirmed owned by Google, I was done for a lot of reasons. Not that Apple's any better. But like, for instance, when you go to the App Store in Apple, it'll tell you in a very distinct and very, just short form, this is what this app wants to request this information, and this is what it's going to do with that information. I respect that.
Yeah.
Not that you
have to really be paying attention on the Google Play Store, because they do tell you also.
Sure.
But it's kind of
hidden
a little bit. If you know what you're looking at and what you're looking for, you'll see.
My switch to Apple came in 2000, and I want to say it was 2011. No, it wasn't. It was 13, because it was an Apple 5, I believe. And I just started a new job.
You've been using Apple for a while now.
Yeah, I have since 2013, because I was a huge Samsung fan. Yeah. Like, I had the newest one, every Galaxy, that as soon as it came out, man. And I was in the developer portion of Android, so I had the new operating systems before others did. I loved it. And when I started a new job with a new place, and I was required to have a phone that they provided, and they only provided Apple. And whatever. So this was back when the Apples were still square and boxy. They were small. They were, you know, and they had that little button on the front. It was what it was. I used it because it was for work, and that was the only time I used it for. And then I started to find that I was using it a little bit more often, like to look things up or to, use it for whatever. And then it was an article had come out about Android being, you know, a subsidiary or somehow connected with Google at the time. And all of this stuff had started coming out about what Google was doing with your information and how they were manipulating you and all of these things. And I slowly started saying, you know, using my work phone more than I was using the Android. And it was latter part of 2013 when the new Apple 6, I think, came out. And I said, I'm going to try it on my personal phone for, you know, a year. And I've been hooked. It's just an easier system to operate for me. There are some things that I still miss about the Google, But at the end of the day, Google, Apple, Android, whatever system you're using, you're screwed.
Oh, yeah.
There's a...
it's just what you're more comfortable
getting
screwed by.
There's a phone... I can't remember the name of it, but this guy came out. He's a patriot, quote-unquote, conservative. I can't remember the name of this phone, but he took basically and created his own type of phone that's very similar in a lot of ways to Apple. They put their own hardware system, their own operating system, and allegedly this phone's supposed to be really cool. It's tough to get because
they're made per order.
Made to order.
Yeah, as soon as you order them, then they start making the phone. I know who you're talking about. I can't think of the name right now, but they are supposed to be faster than either Samsung or Android, if you will.
A listener was talking to me about it about 2 weeks ago. And said, well, you should call the guy and ask him to send you one. Well, I don't feel comfortable. Let me be clear. I got no problem asking for shit.
Yeah.
At all. What I don't feel comfortable in is asking somebody to provide me with something that I'm going to test.
Right.
Because I don't feel like, even if I know I'm doing a very objective job, it doesn't appear that
we're not going to be nice with them.
Well, if they gave it to us, we might be a little nicer than we would be if we purchased it ourselves.
If we start doing reviews.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be held accountable or held to their standard.
Because they sent us something for free.
Yeah, exactly. No. Because I got an email the other day from the company that makes our arms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
our microphone arms.
Yeah, our microphone arms. And they're like, hey, you want to test this stuff and you want to test that stuff? We'll send it to you. And I was like, okay, you can send it to us.
Don't be mad if we tell the truth.
Yeah, we're going to be totally honest of, you know,
right.
if it works or if it doesn't.
I just think.
And I haven't heard back.
Something as big as a phone like that, I think some people could say, well, of course you're going to say nice things. They gave it to you for free. Well, you don't know us well enough yet.
Yeah, no.
because if, you know, if you gave me something that you baked and I don't like it, I might be a little nice about telling you that I don't like it, but no, I'm still going to tell you I don't like it.
Depends on who you are.
Right.
Because if it's me, you're going to say, nah, dude.
Yeah. You probably shouldn't serve that to anybody. Look, I've been married to my wife for 25 years. When we first got together, everything she cooked was fabulous.
Yeah.
At about the fourth year mark, I was like, all right, let's have a talk.
Yeah.
I was trying to get laid for a while, okay?
Can you quit making pork chops, please?
Please. She finally figured out how to make pork chops.
I was just making something up.
Back then, she made these enchiladas that tasted amazing. It was after the fact because they were so greasy that it just killed me, and I'd have heartburn for days.
Yeah.
But they tasted good, and because I ate them...
Do you find
up.
I don't want to get off on another.
No, that's all right. That's what we do here.
Have you found that there's some things that are super greasy or spicy or whatever that you pay the price?
Yeah, and you know what? As I've been getting
older,
you
love it so much, you're willing to take that.
As I've been getting older, I'm starting to find that I love spicy. You know that.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that if I eat it.
You know.
I know I'm going to pay for it, and it's a conscious decision that I have to make.
Right.
It's not heavy, but there are some things that I used to be able to eat hand over fist without a problem, and nowadays it's like, this isn't just heartburn.
Oh, yeah.
This is, my throat may be on fire, and I may throw up two or three times because it's just so...
Right.
So much acid reflux, but that's what happens when we
get
old, apparently.
Or you get the shits or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're willing to take
the hit, you know. It's like when you drink a six-pack of Guinness, you know it's coming.
But it's me, unfortunately, it's with our Pueblo green chili.
Yep, I remember that incident.
and so now every time I eat green chili, that Pueblo green chili, I know what's going to happen.
But you're not going to be able to breathe for a few minutes.
Well, I haven't had that since that one day.
Right.
I haven't had the, you know, the esophagus.
Almost like an anaphylactic.
Yeah, it almost was.
Yeah.
I haven't had that. I've had the vomiting and the diarrhea.
Yeah.
And so, but I figured out.
That was instant almost. Within like 3 to 5 minutes.
It was like 5 minutes after eating that chili that I was having issues.
Whoops.
I almost passed out.
Yep.
Everything. Anyway, I've learned that if I have it a certain way in the chili,
mm-hmm.
if it's nice and diluted with other things, I still have a reaction.
Not as bad.
I don't have the throat closing up. I don't have as much vomiting.
The cramping and the, yeah.
But no, I get the cramping and the shits. But I, and it, you know, to be honest with you, it's a great way to cleanse.
No doubt. Yeah, it's kind of like a.
But I'm down for a day and a half, you know.
We're going to have the cleanse and we're going to just clean everything out.
But it, I love it so much that I will take a hit every once in a while for it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
My kids are giving me a hard time about that.
We can't leave this show without talking about the biggest faux pas of last week.
Go ahead.
And I just. So everybody knows we record on Sunday. We seem to talk about it every time we record because it's always something interesting that comes up. So Friday night, I'm scrolling through X, getting ready to go to bed. I'm in bed, and I come across an article that, and I don't remember exactly what it was. Not an article, I'm sorry, an X post
mm-hmm.
that said that President Biden had decided that he was making the Trans Day of Awareness on March 31st, which right. is yesterday.
Which is
also Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if I screenshotted it and sent it
you
to
sent
you.
Me the link and you were livid.
Oh, I was hot. I was
when you,
fit to
when
be
you sent
tied.
Me the link and I read it, I was livid. And I replied back to you. I was like, this
oh, yeah.
motherfucker. I mean, what the hell?
So, long story short, right. March 31st, falling on Easter Sunday, is also Trans Awareness Day or whatever.
Trans Visibility
or whatever it is. So, I'm pretty fucking pissed. And I know I motherfucked and did this and that, but I was cautious about going super public with it.
Yeah.
And so
same here. It was between me and you that we were livid.
I waited and I got up yesterday and I, you know, got up, did some chores and I said, all right, I want to dig into this.
Mm-hmm.
And because I remembered there was something about it last year about the White House coming out with this Trans Day or whatever. And I saw it and I thought, okay. So last year, Biden also made a proclamation that on March 31st was going to be trans whatever the hell it is. I'm looking for it now. Trans Day of Awareness or some bullshit like that. There it is right there. Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024, as Transgender Day of Visibility. I call upon all Americans to join us in lifting up the lives and voices of transgender, yada, 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 yada.
Right.
So he did this in 23. He also did it in 22 and in 21.
Okay, so March 31st is that day.
Well, I got to digging a little further, and since 2009, somebody who wasn't the president dubbed March 31st as Trans Visibility Day. And I thought, okay, that's a little less. He didn't just, because here's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And here's the way I had it Friday night twisted up into my head and shoved into every orifice I had. I was pissed.
Well,
Christian holiday is Easter. And we all know that these people who, air quotes, these people are trying so desperately to separate the believers from the government. They want to be our God. They want us to only have faith and rely on the government and not to rely on our faith in God. And so, of course, I had a hard time sleeping. I was just besides myself. And when I got up yesterday and got, you know, after I got my chores done and started looking into this, post after post after post, and I'm talking predominant people in the right-wing world and the conservative world, in the libertarian world, and even some on the left, not many, but even some on the left were like, this is a bridge too far. You know, this is too much. But then I saw, wait a minute, this has been going on for a long time. He right. didn't purposely, as much as we'd like to give him credit for, come out and say, to hell with Easter. Yeah. However, here's whoever's running this guy's publicity sucks.
Yeah, this is bad timing.
Because they decided,
as you said, a faux pas.
Yeah, they decided to allow this proclamation to be released Friday night or yesterday, whenever. Friday afternoon. And go for the whole weekend without addressing this. And it still hasn't been addressed. Just as the cop in New York who was killed last week, President Biden hasn't said his name either. But I digress. We'll talk about that here in a bit, too. But they decided, you know, Friday is where news goes to die.
Yeah.
So we're just going to release this.
Friday afternoon, yeah, usually when they release
nobody'll notice it. Well, then they did. And I still see a lot of, even this morning, a ton of these conservative talk show hosts and pundits and whatever are still screaming and hollering about it. And yes, it is disgusting. It's terrible that, listen.
We had this conversation earlier. Look, this is the one time where he could have, whoever's in charge of his publicity, his press releases, should have said, you know, Sunday is Easter. We probably shouldn't. We should let this one slide in there and nobody notice it. You know, still, like I said, the conservatives are waiting for shit to happen. So they would have seen it no matter what.
Right. So I have
but at least put out a release saying we're not taking away from Easter. We're just saying this is the same day. It just so happened Easter fell on the same day.
Yeah. And look, Biden can't even think 5 minutes ahead, let alone years in advance. Oh, this is going to fall on Easter one day and we're going to get him good. I found something that I think highlights the sentiment. It's a little bit long, but it's from an account on X called Jarvis's Best or Jarvis Best. And it really highlights what I think we all need to say with putting a little bit of class to it. So bear with me. Again, it's a little bit long, but I'll try and speed it up. A lot of people are pissed with the Biden administration for declaring Easter to be Trans Day of Visibility, but to be fair, the date of it was selected only because of the LGB calendar was already kind of full. And if you look at it, the Trans Day of Visibility being March 31st is not to be confused with the Trans Day of Remembrance, which is November 20th. And if you're going to take that into account, we've got to take care to honor the Transgender Parent Day, which is November 6th, and Trans Awareness Week, which is November 13th through the 19th. But then we also have International Pronoun Day, which is October 20th. Now, trans is distinct from drag, mm-hmm. as we all know. So International Drag Day is July 16th. Not everybody has got a gender to trans, though. So Agender Pride Day is May 19th. Intersex Awareness Day is October 26th. And you can come out as any of these on National Coming Out Day, that's October 11th. Now, Omnisexual Visibility Day is July 6th, so make sure you mark your calendar for that.
Please? Can I stop you,
please? Yeah, just for a second. I got to finish this, though.
No, I think you made your point.
Oh, no, there's okay. So many more.
Go ahead.
We got to get to the bisexual awareness because ends on the 22nd. Okay. Well, stop. I'm just, you get my point. It just keeps going.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
And that should annoy the shit out of everybody, is they get a day.
Oh, every God. Yeah, I'm showing Bear this list, and it, what is there, 50?
At least.
50 least. Different. I could have went on that thing, but took me.
Didn't we all?
Oh, it's got you good. You haven't completed a sentence yet, boy. He is
I'm pissed because didn't we give them a month? Didn't we all agree saying, you know, okay, well, let's give them June. They get a whole month.
I didn't agree, but yeah, they got a month.
Yeah, well, yeah. We've all kind of whatever
they demanded,
conceded,
it
they, yeah. whatever you want to say. There we're like, okay, we'll give you Pride Month. Okay, can't you just shove all that shit in? I know it's 50 fucking things
or more. Yeah,
but couldn't you just shove all that in the same month and do it all in June?
That makes sense to you and I, but Pride is only for LGB.
Yeah, that's true.
Then you got the trans, then you got the two sex or two spirit, and then you got the queer.
And us as white heterosexual males.
We get March 13th, which is National Steak and BJ Day.
Oh, and July 4th.
Well, there's that too. July 4th. I don't understand that. You know, Morgan Freeman talked about Black History Month.
Yeah.
National Hispanic Month, they don't get a full month. They got to split it between September and October.
Right.
I'm sure there's an Asian Or
and if I want to be sexist, and I will be for a second, women get more days than men do.
They got a whole National History Month.
They get a month.
Then the trans bitches took over that too.
It's true. It's true. But they get, I mean, talking about holidays, they you know, they get Mother's Day. They've got, not, they got Valentine's Day. They get all these days. Mm-hmm. Women do.
Anniversaries.
We get our birthday.
Maybe.
Right. And we get 4th of July. And guess what? On Father's Day, you know, mothers on Mother's Day, they get to sit back, relax, and supposedly they sit back and relax and don't have to do anything. On Father's Day, what do you do have to do on a Father's Day?
We get to grill.
We get to.
We
have to cook.
Or.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't get to take out
dinner. Our kids are gracious enough and they take us out for dinner or lunch.
I don't know about your.
And then.
Maybe your kids.
Then we got to pay for it.
Right.
Now, in all fairness to my kids, they're pretty good about that. I enjoyed the barbecuing occasionally. And then last year they did pay.
Yeah.
And my kids are pretty good at it. But generally speaking, you're right. Men, for Father's Day especially, they tend to, you know, like you said, moms get to sit back, relax, and everybody does everything.
To. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do for your mom.
But when it comes to Father's Day, we're grilling, we're prepping, and, you know.
I actually saw a protest during, I think it was last year, that they should get rid of Father's Day because men aren't good enough to. Yeah.
I think I remember hearing that. Yeah. I do remember reading about that. Here's the thing is that
you bitch.
I think if I remember correctly in that long list that I was looking at, there is something damn near every month for, I don't even know what to call it. We
need to call Ant and ask him about some of these days. If they actually need this many days,
we need to set that up. Matter of fact, you know, Pride's coming up.
Yeah.
We should call him for Pride and have him on for Pride Week and talk about all of these fucking days. Look, if we had a white national Pride Month.
I saw his post on this Easter thing. He was
he was upset about it. And again, we were too.
Yeah.
Once I dug into it a little bit and saw it.
Well, the digging, I came across the same stuff that you did when it came to the digging into the trans visibility awareness, whatever the fuck it's called, day. Okay, that's been around for a while. So we're going to have to step back and say, okay, well, this was just bad timing.
Right.
He was not smart enough to realize and maybe we shouldn't.
On occasion, this may end up falling on Easter.
Right. Well, the thing that pissed me off, though, was the making sure that the eggs didn't have any religious
connotation. I'm glad you're bringing that up.
Because that part really pissed me off.
The whole point of Easter is not about a freaking bunny.
Right. It's not about eggs.
It's not about eggs. The point of Easter is that on the third day, he rose again from the dead, and that's what this is about. It's about the resurrection of Christ.
Right.
And the White House, our government, and I get where the argument could be had. The government shouldn't be having any deal in it. Well, if that's the case, they shouldn't celebrate anything to do with Christmas either. I'm not against it, though. Just as much as I'm not against them having a menorah. I'm not against them when they talk about Ramadan. You know, all of those things.
Right.
I heard somebody, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, and I wish I'd have wrote it down, but I was laughing until I realized how serious this Congress lady was. I can't remember which one it was. I'll dig it up and we'll have to. But she sat on the podium, on the dais, and said out loud that maybe this was on MSNBC. That's what it was. But it was a congressperson on MSNBC. She said that the Christian extremists in the MAGA faction of the Republican Party have gotten so dangerous and so out of hand that they actually believe that their rights granted to them from the Constitution were given to them by God.
Yeah, I remember.
And I went, hello, bitch. Maybe you need to go read them.
Yeah, it says
inalienable rights granted by our Creator.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean your dad and your mom.
Right.
I mean, it does mean your Holy Father. So, I mean, there's that. But these are the people that are running our country.
Well, that's what pissed me off about this, them banning religious eggs, if you will, on a very religious holiday. What do you expect to happen?
They wanted no...
They want to take the religion out of the
religion. No religion or religious displays for Easter.
Yeah.
But they'll put the religion of the trans ideology all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
It just...
In New York City, they turned the Empire State Building and the...
Empire State, one world trade.
Into trans flags and
that Governor Hochul is... she's a trip. She is a trip. What New York has done... anyway. Yeah, that woman's a trip. There was somebody in Rochester recently who called a talk show and was talking about the mass migration of business out of New York just since the Letitia James bullshit with Judge Engron. Kevin O'Leary, is that his name?
I think
the Shark Tank guy. So,
Mr. Wonderful?
Yes.
Yes.
So, and this is just my own observations. I'm not implying that this is the case, but I tend to read people when they talk and what their body language says. Now, I don't believe he's a Trump supporter. No. I don't know for sure.
I don't think so.
He's made it clear that his argument he's making is not based in politics. It's based on factual and legal analysis. One thing that he has been railing on since this whole thing with Trump started is how bad this is for New York and that people don't understand, including saying that he and some other investors were looking at a place to put a data company. Now, I had to look this up because I didn't know, but a data company or whatever this is, isn't a company that employs a bunch, you know, thousands of people and they have this building. It's literally a building that houses servers.
Right.
That's it. It has employees, obviously. He was looking with investors. They were going to be investing in New York to place one of these data centers. He has since pulled that and said, nope, not happening. And he keeps talking about it. And I get the sense that he hasn't said it out loud because he doesn't want to put a target on his back. But I'm betting he's got some real estate ventures in New York and he's now trying to get out of because of this very thing. And I think he's not wanting to say anything about it because he doesn't want that target. Now, John Stewart recently fucked himself in the most magnificent way possible. And you know, Tim Pool's the one that stuck this target right out there and Stewart swung. So Stewart comes out and he's mother bashing Trump because Trump overvalued his properties. Well, that's how real estate works. The banks were happy. Everybody was content.
He said that it wasn't a victimless crime.
Right.
Like everybody else is saying, well, we're saying, I don't know about you, I'll say it wasn't a crime.
No.
Nobody actually called the cops, if you will, and said, hey, we're getting screwed over by Donald Trump. Nobody ever did that.
Letitia James did the show me the guy and I'll show you the crime.
Yeah.
So John Stewart has a property, some type of, a townhome, something in New York that is valued from the county assessor of that area at $1.4 million.
Yeah.
$1.4 million. Write that down. Set it aside. He sells that property several years ago.
Yeah.
For $17
million. Yeah. So old clue was like $17.5 million.
$17 million. Yeah. Something like that. Okay. How did he come up with that number?
Yeah. He overinflated
the value. That guy, the person who bought it from him, wait a minute, he got robbed. That's $16 million at least. The guy ends up selling the property later. For like, I think it was 13, 12 and a half, 13 million.
So he took a loss.
He took a $4.5 million loss on it. I think Letitia James needs to go after John Stewart. And all of a sudden, John Stewart's trying to piss backwards on this. Well, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Trump didn't break any laws. When you purchase a car, when you purchase a house, you're trying to get that house to be the best bang for your buck.
If you post your car or if you... however you want to put it, your, let's say your truck, you want to sell it, you put it in the advertising.
Right.
You're going to ask for way up high.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to ask for 12, 14, whatever
right.
the amount may be, knowing that you will settle for this much.
Exactly.
Whatever the book value is. Mm-hmm.
It's negotiating.
Everybody does it. Everybody. That's the part that pisses me off. And what pisses me off the most is, in Donald Trump's case, the banks, the one that he supposedly frauded, are like, no, there was no crime. We're very happy we made money off the deals.
One of the MSNBC pundits was on shortly after the verdict and right when it wasn't certain if Trump was going to be able to make the bond or not before it was lowered from 500 and something million to 1.7 or 175 yeah. million. Which I disagree with still. Great that he got it lowered, but that's just outrageous. Anyway, this host had come on and was saying that Letitia James needed to go after Mar-a-Lago first and seize that property. And a host asked the person, what do you think?
Well, how is that possible?
Because it was financed out of New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I had to dig into that, too.
Wait a minute. It makes no sense. Yeah. It's in Florida. How can she go after something in Florida?
So now, mind you, they'd all been talking about how horrible and wrong Trump was for overvaluing his properties. And Judge Engron even stated on the record that he believed that Mar-a-Lago property was only valued at 18, maybe 20 million at best. one of the biggest pieces of property in the Mar-a-Lago or Miami
Palm
area,
Beach, yeah.
Palm Beach area, surrounded by water on three sides.
Well, and I think when Trump bought it, he spent more than that.
He bought it for a pretty penny. There are properties on Mar-a-Lago or on, I'm sorry, I keep saying that, on, I keep forgetting the name of this island.
Palm Beach. Palm Mile or whatever.
Whatever it is. There's a piece of property that is less than a quarter of an acre selling for almost $75 million.
Right.
$75 million for a quarter of an acre.
Location.
Yeah. So they're on there back and forth, and this pundit says they need to go after Mar-a-Lago first and get that one all wrapped up. And the host says, what do you think they could sell that property for without...
Oh, yeah.
Even cracking a smile or a grin, there was no hesitation. They said he could easily get $200 million or so out of that. What?
You just overvalued it.
You just overvalued it because this whole thing is just it's a clown show.
Well, it's just like our opening. One thing we as conservatives look at it as this way, they look at it that way. They don't see the value in Mar-a-Lago unless it's going in their pocket. Then right. It's very valuable.
Exactly.
You know? So
I don't know. It just all of it makes so much sense. But if they'd have just let AI do all the valuations, things would have been so much better.
Right.
I don't know. It's just the way I see it. What do I know? You know.
What's up?
There is a sale going on right now at RavenCrestTactical.com.
Oh, yeah, they have an Easter sale going on.
They got an Easter sale going on. If you get in early, go to our website this time. Go to our website. Go to the Raven Crest Tactical through our website and use their promo code today because their promo code is going to give you a bigger discount than ours.
There you go.
This is us being nice to you. So go to Raven Crest Tactical. That's on our socials as well as on our webpage, theunrefinedguys.com. Go to the Contact Us and Sponsors page and click the link. Check out some of the knives they've got there. And they've got a huge sale going on right now. Plus, they've brought 7 new colors in to be able to create your own knife.
Yeah.
Great program.
Easter egg colors.
You can, what are those... pastel colors. Pastels, yeah. Also, if you like what we do, we could sure use your support. Go to patreon.podbean.com/unrestrained. Become a member for exclusive access to content. Because of you is why we do what we do, and we'd love to continue to expand and make new things to continue to battle this culture war. Hit us up on all our socials. Do all of that. Like, smash, grab, whatever. Share it with your friends.
Please.
Also, when it comes to that movie, tell us what you thought about it, if you've seen it anywhere, all the time, everywhere, whatever it is.
Everywhere, all at once. Something like that, yeah.
Let us know what you thought about it. And we got the midweek tug coming up on Wednesday. You'll make sure to tune in for that. If you've got any ideas that you'd like for us to discuss on the Midweek Tug, send that to us as well. We'll be happy to get in there. Also, if you go to our X page, you can leave us a little tip. Maybe you can't afford to be a member right now. She can always leave us a tip over there on Twitter or X, whatever. X, formerly known as Twitter.
I'm pretty sure they can do that on Instagram now, too.
Can they?
Yeah.
Sweet. Some point, there's this coffee thing you can do. And then there's locals. We're going to have to look into all of that. Yes, we're trying to make things bigger and better, and we can't do it without money, folks.
It takes a few bucks.
It definitely does. Have a great week. Don't be too pissed off about the trans visibility, because there's another day for them coming up in another week or so. Just check your calendars. Until next time, I'm Tommy.
I'm Bear.
We're the Unrefined Guys. Have a great week. Wake up again.